Well, hey everyone, we are, it's really kind of hard to believe, but we're launching our Christmas series. I had a chance to play nine holes of golf this week. We did it in really short time, but it's amazing to think that you could be in short sleeves during December. I sure enjoy it. You know, we're focusing in this series on hope, and kind of the way I normally do preparation for message series is I'll look at the different topics or themes, and then I'll just do a deep dive into all kind of aspects of it. What does the Bible say? So I want to get a theological handle on it. But then I'll look at other things like, what are the social implications? What have been done by researchers? And what are some of the other evidences that talk about this? Like we did this with gratitude. I've discovered so many physiological responses to gratitude and the impact that it has on us, chemically with our serotonin and dopamine levels and just all kind of things. It's fascinating because, you know, the thing is all truth is God's truth. And when God has acted or worked or spoken, we can research it and we'll discover over and over again just the intrinsic value of whatever God endorses. And this idea of hope, there is so much to it. We'll be seeing this throughout the series. And I'm really hoping that you'll stick with us through this. And I'm going to pass on some things as we launch this, and I want to recruit you to help. So please stay with me to the end of the message, and you'll see why. There are a lot of things about hope when you look at it. Hope is a word that's used constantly around us. You'll have people say, hey, I hope you're doing okay. Or maybe I hope things work out with that new job or that new relationship you're starting. Or I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. That's kind of a hope from the past. And then there's things like, I hope Washington beats Pittsburgh. No, that's not even hope. That's not even optimism. I'm not sure what it is. But when you look at it, the definitions of hope or the way it's used are pretty typical. The dictionary defines hope as this: it's a desire or a want or something we anticipate, and it's usually accompanied with a feeling. So I feel hopeful about whatever. Wikipedia had a very interesting definition. It said, hope is an optimistic state of mind based on positive outcomes in my life or in the world. So it's a positive way of looking at things based on some outcomes that I'm really strongly pushing for. I'm hoping those things are going to happen. This week, I want you to be watching, over the next few days, how often you use or you hear someone use the word hope, and then look at it and see where are they coming from on that. The idea of hope is, it's all around us, but I want to give you a biblical definition of hope. And the way the Bible sees hope is this: hope is approaching life with confidence that God will be with me and make good on his promises to me. Let's go back to that again. Hope is an attitude or a mindset of approaching life with confidence that God will be with me and make good on his promises to me. We have a theme verse that we're using in this series. You'll hear it many times, and I hope you'll learn it. Maybe post this somewhere so you can remember it regularly. It says this. It's Matthew 12:21. And his name will be the hope of all the world. And his name will be the hope of all the world. And it's not that the name is magical. Whenever the Bible talks about the name of God, it's meaning representing all of who God is. And as we'll be looking at it today and throughout the series, hope is not blind to evil and problems of the past or the present or the future. Sometimes you have people who have what we call blind optimism or kind of a hopeless optimism, which is an odd thing to have. But when the Bible talks about hope, it is never with eyes shut to reality. It's not just merely a feeling. It's not positive thinking. It's not just trying to imagine something, like if you can believe it, you can achieve it. It's not that kind of mentality at all. When we read about it in the Bible, when we see it demonstrated in the Bible, hope faces reality by seeing everything through the lens of confidence in God. And it's confidence in this God whose purposes and power are much bigger than our problems or obstacles ever will be. So hope faces reality, but it's where I don't face reality alone. I face it with someone that's walking with me. And it's my confidence in God that carries me through. This is what, when we talk about hope in this series, this is what we'll be looking at. And it, as you see it, it will give you the ability to face whatever comes your way. Again, Matthew 12:21, and his name will be the hope of all the world. Hope placed firmly on a person is what we're talking about. That's why when you and I describe our faith as followers of Jesus, it should never just be about a lifestyle. It should be about having a brand new life, and a brand new life that's connected to and is in touch with the God of the universe. That's why we over and over again will say that our faith in Jesus is not a religion. It really is a personal relationship with God. Ephesians 2 tells us this. Remember that at that time you were separate from God, from Christ. That means there was a time in our lives where we were not connected to God, where we were separated from him and heading in a Christless eternity. So it says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. We don't have a hope, as followers of Christ, we don't have a hope that's in a set of rules or regulations or following some kind of traditions that have been handed down to us. Not that those things aren't important, it's just that they're not the basis of our faith. Our hope is in a person, and it's this one that came for us. He came to rescue us. When we too many times, I think, at Christmas, we worship a baby in a manger. But that baby was merely the vehicle that our Savior came in. Jesus exists from all eternity. And I think sometimes we're more comfortable with a baby in the manger because we feel like we can control the baby. It's just that when we start thinking of him as God, that's a different story. But we honor and celebrate the one who came to rescue us. He is a warrior that came to provide us to have freedom, and at great cost on his part. He sacrificed his life so that you and I could have our sins forgiven and that we could be rescued and have this relationship with him from now on. Let me see if I can explain this a little further. And let me reread the definition of hope again, because I just want us to keep this in mind, and you're going to be hearing this throughout the series. Hope is an it's approaching life with confidence that God will be with me and make good on his promises to me. Again, hope is in a person that is trustworthy, not in outcomes that I'm hoping will happen. So listen to this passage in Romans 5. It describes our new life as followers. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So we don't have peace with God because we've made promises to him or we've straightened up our life or we have good intentions. It is strictly because of what Jesus, our rescuer, our Savior, did for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. I love this. Undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. And that's a fancy way of saying there'll be a time when all of history wraps up. And then when this world is gone, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we will not anymore be encumbered by sin, ours or anyone else's. And we'll be able to experience fully everything God has for us. We can rejoice too, it says. We'll be run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. You know, God is not into the making me feel good business. He's trying to help you and I develop into people that are more and more like his son. And we talked about this, and let me just mention this too, that our prayer night this coming Monday, we'll be looking at this idea of God being approachable, and especially in issues of physical healing. Not just that, but those included. And I hope you'll join us this coming Monday at 7 as we look at that. But as we think about this, that you know, God's desire for you and me is not just to make heaven on earth here. He is preparing us for an eternal existence with him. And so these things about developing character and endurance in us, they're going to last us forever. This is not just, you know, for the 70, 80, 90 years, whatever I get here on planet Earth. He's developing us for the long haul. So don't ever miss that, please. And if you see me forgetting it, help me remember that God's got big, big purposes for you and me. And our lives here, while important, this is not the only existence we'll have. We will have an existence in eternity where we'll be busy and active and involved in all kind of important things that we can not even imagine right now. But God has his purposes, and they're always good. So let me read this again. I got sidetracked, I know. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When you and I hope in God, when we place our hope in that person, we will not be disappointed because he will never, ever rip us off. He'll never mistreat us. He'll never take advantage of us. He'll never fail. You know, I have a picture of this during our last series, this Project Gratitude. And if you missed any of those, I hope you will get. There was a three-part series. We taught for 2 weeks. And then the third week, the weekend after Thanksgiving, we had a number of our people at New Hope that sent in videos that we showed of just expressing what they're grateful for. This past year. And I received an email early in the series from one of our partners, and I've asked permission if I could read this, and she graciously agreed. I just think it pictures so much what this passage we just read says. Her email says this. It says, "Good morning, Rusty. The message today on gratitude was very powerful for me. I reflected back on my difficult times in 1993 when my husband left me for another woman and did not give me any financial support. I struggled, and as much as my pastor and church were there for me, I questioned God why he wouldn't make my husband come back to me and why the kids and I were suffering so much. One of the most humiliating experiences I had was when I had to go to a pawn shop to pawn my mother's ring for bread and milk for my kids. I convinced myself that the memories of my mom were still there and the ring was only a physical object. I also had to file for bankruptcy." It starts off pretty bleak. People enter into marriage with hope. They're sure this is going to be it. There's hope. There's plans for the future. And then in this case, these plans were just gone. "From all those terrible times," she goes on to say, "I learned how to be humble and appreciate what I did have and how to hold my head high when I went to the local food pantry at church. The people were wonderful and didn't make me feel like a terrible mother. I also learned what and how I can donate now so that a family can have a complete meal, like a spaghetti dinner." You know, it's interesting how God uses the difficulties we go through to position us to be impact players down the road. And that's what she's saying. She learned to be humble and appreciate on one side so that when she was in a better position, she knew what it was like for those that were where she had been and how she could respond. She goes on to say, "I had to ration food and teach my children, that if they ate more than we had, all the ho-hos and ding-dongs, they would not be able to have any more until we were able to get more. In other words, learning to live within your means and learning to live carefully and wisely. She goes on, I learned from filing bankruptcy that there is life after bankruptcy, but more importantly, Jesus has used me to give others comfort when they're going through difficult financial times. Sarah's email, I've read it many times. And what I love is this is a picture looking back from a time that was so, so hard, heartbreaking, difficult, painful, humiliating. And yet she's able to look back and see how God, in his kindness and mercy, carried her through and how he's used that so that she can now, listen to this, so she can now give hope to others. I don't know what God's doing in your life right now. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what kind of things may be happening. But I guarantee you this, that if you put your hope in God, he will never, ever mislead you. He'll never abandon you. He will not waste the hurt and the pain you may go through. And as time goes on, just like you see in Sarah's emails, time goes on, you'll be able to look back, and over time, you'll see some of the purposes he had. We won't know that fully till this life is over, but there'll be glimpses along the way God gives us to show us that our hope placed in him is the absolute best decision we could ever make. During this series, we're going to be looking at how hope in Jesus heals us and strengthens us and motivates us and protects us, and how it can inspire others. We live at a time right now where many people have seen their hopes dashed, where people are struggling in ways that they didn't really imagine. I mean, granted, worldwide, there's this pandemic, and it's really rocked the world. As I'm doing this, we've almost 300,000 Americans that have died through this COVID-19. We have a record number of people hospitalized right now, over 100,000. I realize that there's some people that don't think it's that big a deal, but believe me, I'm convinced it is, and something we need to be very careful about. And there's some other things that have happened. We live at a time where people have seen what they place their hope in vanish, and where real, real hope is needed. Let me just mention a couple of these things. You and I, some of you that are watching and listening, but then so many of our friends are dealing with financial loss. They're dealing with fear of what's going to happen financially. There are those who are just on the very, very edge. We support a local food bank, LCAC, and they've seen their numbers skyrocket for people that just need the basics. So there are people that are struggling with, they may have already lost their job or afraid of losing it. They may have lost their savings. And their hopes have been placed in what that financial cushion would do for them, or what that represented for them. There are people in their families and marriages that are in really, really bad shape right now. People have had a lot more time with each other. They've gotten on each other's nerves. There are those that their relationship was already cracking in the foundation, and now it's just a huge chasm. There's all kind of stress that families are under in helping other family members. There are those that have gone through a loss and have not been able to even go to a funeral. There are those that have had loved ones, and those loved ones have had to recover or be alone, in many cases have died without anyone around them except strangers. There are people with they had their hopes set in a career or a trajectory with school, and that's been taken away now and maybe for the long haul. There are people who had their hopes in a political future that now looks very, very dim. People that have struggled with injustice and have had hopes that things would change, and they haven't changed the way they thought they would or should. There are others that are fighting real hard, but they just feel a growing sense of hopelessness. You know, there are people that have struggled with illness based on COVID, but there's some other illnesses and some that have gone undiagnosed, or they haven't, out of fear, haven't been to a doctor to look at it. And so they're struggling physically with some things that could end up really debilitating them. Alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and porn have grown exponentially during these times. And the bondage that those things lead to, among other kind of problems. There's a rise in mental health challenges among our people. The CDC has done some research recently, and they have said that 40% of American adults today are grappling with at least one mental health or drug-related problem. 40%. So it's 4 in 10. It goes on to say that there are 75% of young adults are struggling this way with at least one mental health or drug or alcohol issue. This is not tiny. This is big. Let me say that one more time to make sure I had it right. The CDC has said this, that 40% of American adults are grappling with at least one mental health issue or a drug and alcohol problem. And they're saying that 75% of young adults are doing that right now. They've also reported that among U.S. young adults in the past 30 days, the 1 month, is that 1 in 4 have had thoughts of suicide. And whenever you research suicide and you look at that, you'll realize that it is almost always coupled with a sense of hopelessness. You know, and these people around us, this 40% or of people that are struggling with a mental health issue or drug and alcohol problem, or the 75% among young adults having that, these are people around you and me. They're some of us, and then they're friends of ours. And of the 25% of young adults in the last 30 days that have contemplated suicide, they're our friends and our family. They're our neighbors. They're our coworkers. They're our classmates. Hope is needed. And let me tell you, you and I, as followers of Jesus, we have hope. We have a reason to hope, because our hope is not in whoever we've elected into office, or this new job, or maybe getting a bailout from the government. Our hope is in a person, and a person who will never, ever rip us off. Our hope in this hope of the world is Jesus Christ, and he came for all people. So I just want to urge you, as we walk through this series, as we go through Christmas time, keep your eyes on Jesus and remember who he is. As you read your Bible, do the Bible reading plan with us, read your Bible. And as you think about it, what is it that Jesus offers me? And then the take-home sheet this week, we're looking at, you know, it'd be easy to say, well, those people put their hope in this. Well, you know, you and I are tempted to do the same thing. You know, I have the possibility of a new relationship or a raise or a new home and all this. And it's easy for me to slide and put my hope in circumstances or things. And those circumstances or things can change in a second. Jesus Christ is the same today, tomorrow, and for all time. He will never change. I can trust him completely because he is trustworthy. He proved that when he sacrificed his life for me and invited me into his family. So here's how you can make the most of this series. One is stay involved. I hope you will not miss a single one of these messages. The advantage of the online is this, is you can... every week we have 3 opportunities, 5:30 on Saturday, 9:11 on Sunday. You can also do it on demand. So if you happen to miss one, you can go to it. I encourage you to have a regular habit of when. But if you miss one, go get it on. Promise that you'll stick with that. Make a promise to yourself. Second thing is, talk about application of this message and these messages with a partner. If you're watching this with someone right now, ask them to do it with you. If you're doing it as a family, it'd be a great thing to do over a dinner table and say, so how does this work in our life? And this idea of hope, what does it look like to really put our hope in Jesus? The take-home sheet will help you go further with that. And then the third thing is, so the first one was to stay involved. Second one is to work on application with a partner. Third is, would you invite five friends to attend during Christmas? We have our services. We have our Christmas Eve service. Would you invite five people specifically? And you can do that. You can call them. You can see them on the street. You can email them. You can text them. You can, I would say you can post it online, but let's just, if you do that, don't count that as one of your five. But five people that you'll be praying for and that you'll invite. I want to tell you, when we get involved, when we spread hope, it puts wind in our sails. And when you and I get to help others find Jesus, when we get to help others, and remember, you don't know where these people are. You don't know what's going on. So many of us mask it. We're not very good at telling what's really going on. Assume that everyone you know needs hope. Know that Jesus came for all people. He's not here just for a handful. He came for all of us. And remember this, and his name will be the hope of all the world. So let's get after it together. Stay involved, application with a partner, and invite five friends. I've asked some good friends, the Arnolds, if they would pray for us. So I'm passing it on to them now. Thank you, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hi, New Hope family. We're Greg and Amy Arnold, and we would like to pray with you today. Please pray with us. Lord God, we thank you that you are God. Even through everything that is happening in the world around us, Father, you are Lord, and you are Lord of all. We thank you that you know us, and we thank you that you love us, Lord. Even in our failures, Father, you love us. We thank you that you know our joys and you know our pain. And we thank you that you walk with us through our pain and through our struggles, Father. You are with us and you will never leave us. You have made a way for us to have a future with you in heaven through your Son, Jesus. I pray, Father, that as we prepare for this Christmas season, that you would be preparing our hearts as well, reminding us of your love that you sent down for us as a baby in a manger, Father God, to provide a hope and a future with you. I pray, Father, for all those who are hurting and who are struggling and who are suffering, Father. I pray that you would strengthen them and remind them of your love and the hope that they can have in you, Father God.
Lord, you know the challenges that each and every one of us face because you know us better than we know ourselves. Jesus, you said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Dear Jesus, thank you for inviting us to be with you. Thank you for making a way for us where there was no way. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for rescuing us from the consequences of our own sins. Thank you for being the great physician. Thank you for being our Prince of Peace. The Book of Psalms reminds us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Please draw each and every one of us close to you. Thank you for sacrificing your life for us, Jesus, so that those who trust in you will be made right with you. Please use us to share your great gift with others. And Lord, we pray for those who have not trusted in you, Jesus. We pray that they will trust in you today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.